Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight, me and our third member of our team, Evan, we'll be doing a breakdown of the big UFC fight card that's happening this Saturday. And we are very excited to break down this card, give you some predictions, break down the fight, and we're definitely looking to have fun tonight. What's up, Evan?
How's it going, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good, bro. How about you?
I'm good. I'm very excited to break this one down. I think this card's got a lot of great fights on it, and I think the people need to know about it.
Yeah, man. And it got a very good main event, too. And I think the main event probably ain't even the best fight on the card.
I agree. I think there's just too much. Like people were saying, this is a pay-per-view main card, but we're getting it for free.
And I always love free 99.
That's it, man. Ain't nothing better.
That's right. Is this the last card of the year?
Yeah. I think the next card. I want to say early February, something like that.
All right, man. Let's jump into it, man. So, what's the fight that jumps out at you? The one that you will not get up off your couch to go get a beer, to go get chips, to go pop popcorn. What fight will you definitely be glued to the TV to see?
Honestly, like, there's too many. Like, I can go all day with some of these fights. Now, the number one fight I definitely want to talk about, I think this one is probably most important, at least to me. And we've talked about it on the show, the co-main event, which is Jose Aldo versus Chito Vera. I think that fight, it's very important for the division. You know, Aldo still believes, you know, still has championship aspirations. Chito Vera is coming off the big win against O'Malley. So, you know, O'Malley's fans are tuning in to see Vera lose. You know, Aldo has a string of fans since he's been doing this for so long. It's a very important fight for the division, but it's such a good fight. And, you know, looking at interviews and seeing Marlon Vera saying he's going to run through Jose Aldo, that just tells me that I need to sit down and glue myself to that TV. What do you think?
Man, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. But I'm going to another fight, bro. I'm going with Marlon Moraes and Rob Font. Oh, my God. I think this fight has a chance to be a hellacious fight, especially if they both come in and do what we know they can do, and that's put on good fights with good striking. Man, I love this fight, man. I'm not mad at the Aldo fight. Aldo, I'm one of the people that think he's over the hill. But this Rob Font and Marlon Moraes fight, boy, I can't wait.
I 100% agree. I think that one is probably my number two because I don't want. I guess, you know, Marlon Moraes came to the UFC. He debuted way back. I want to say UFC 213 was his debut. Maybe a little bit ahead, but I think I'm right. But anyway, I think he lost a close decision to Rafael Assuncao, and I think he kind of lost that shine or whatever. Yeah, he came to UFC 212, my mistake, 212, and he lost at a split decision to Assuncao, but then since then went on a streak, and that streak consisted of him beating Assuncao by finishing him in their rematch, but then lost to Cejudo. But Marlon is still legit. He's a powerhouse. No clue how that guy makes 35. I would love to see him possibly go up to featherweight, just kind of relieve his body from cutting that weight. But Rob Font, dude, is just a he's a tough customer. I love this fight. I think this fight kind of is booking for, you know, Rob Font to kind of, you know, make his statement, you know, make his statement in the division, let people know that, like, no, there's talent in this division. There's plenty of up-and-comers like myself that deserve a shot like this, and he's getting his shot, and I can't wait. So, honestly, you know, I know we haven't made any predictions yet, but for this one, I want to say the same thing I said for when Marlon fought Corey Sandhagen. I said if Marlon's not going to get it done in the first round, his chances of winning the fight, I believe, kind of weaken. And I'm not trying to say that Marlon can't get finishes late. You know, that's not true. But I think he's a little bit of a, you know, a first-round fighter. But what do you think?
I think more right, if you go back to the Cejudo fight, he did kind of gas starting probably in the second round. It looked like he was starting to gas out. And I'm kind of with you. I think his weight cut affects his performance after the first round. If you look at his fights after the first round, even against Aldo, he slowed down a lot between the first round and was that a main event? No, I think that was that wasn't a main event.
No,
that was a three-round. Yeah. But he did slow down, but I don't think he can go out to featherweight. I think he's too short for featherweight. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why Frankie went down, because of his height and fighting those big guys at 145. But yeah, Moore Rice, man, I got to see what his cardio looks like. He gonna definitely need to be in top shape fighting Rob Font, man.
I agree 100%. Like I said, this is a huge fight for both. You know, I'm not gonna say it's a win-win for either. Really, I forget what the word is, but both need a win right here. They really need this win. This is a huge, huge upcoming fight for both. I'm going to say, like I said before, if Marlon can get it done in the first, that's how I see it. But as the later rounds go, you know, I'll be taking Rob Font. I would like Rob Font to win regardless, but we'll see what happens. But if you don't mind, my next fight on this card that I think deserves a lot more respect, and it's getting talked about, but as I'm looking at the card on UFC.com, Anthony Pettis versus Alex Morono is on the prelims.
Yeah, it's the main event of the prelims.
Now, that's respectful. You know, they're giving him the main event spot. Everyone watches – well, not everyone watches the prelims. People need to watch the prelims. Like, let me tell you, folks, please watch the prelims. At some point in people's careers, they were on the prelims. Conor McGregor was on the prelims of Demetrius Johnson's main event pay-per-view card. He was on the prelims, not on the main card, the prelims. So please watch prelims. But this is an incredible fight. I don't know if a lot of people really know Alex Morono. You know, he's been in the UFC for some time now. You know, not his last fight, but one before that, he was knocked out by the gentleman that is also on this card that we will get to later. But, you know, he's a solid competitor. You know, he's only lost three times in the UFC. Two decisions. He's only been knocked out twice, never submitted. You know, he's a gamer. He's a young kid. What is he? What are you, my friend? He's only 30 years old. I mean, he's a young kid, but still 30, just coming into his prime. You can tell he loves just to fight. He's just a fun guy, just enjoying the violence. But fighting Anthony Pettis is a huge step up in competition. And sadly, I do think Pettis will win this fight convincingly. Pettis has talked about some serious growth in his interviews that I've seen. And I just think the volume of Pettis and just the sheer, you know, championship mentality that he's previously had will prevail in this fight, and he will get it done. Plus, just for the people, this is Anthony Pettis' last fight on his contract, and he has said that he has not signed a new one yet. So this is, you know, make or break for him.
I'm gonna piggyback on something you started the conversation with. This little part. People really, really have to start watching the prelims. The prelims is where the future stars are developed and where they are getting eyes on them. Everybody doesn't start on the main card. You have to work your way up. I know there are some fighters that may come from other organizations that may start off on the main card, but what I'm talking about are fighters that are basically developmental or quote-unquote kind of amateurish. This is where they start off at on the prelims. So that's why we as UFC fans or MMA fans, you have to watch the prelims. This is where your next stars are born at, on the prelims. And that includes this guy, Chaos Williams. I'm looking forward to his fight. I want to see whether or not he can keep the momentum going, see whether or not his shine can get even brighter. So it's just one thing about fight nights is what I, one thing I have always said is that fight nights should always, the main event should always be between at least two top 10 guys. And then the co-main event to me should be between two up and comers, because that way, especially when the UFC was like doing gates and selling tickets and doing the media, that way they get used to being a kind of sort of the spotlight. They get used to being asking questions, you know, the media coming around. And that's one of the ways you develop your talent.
I agree 100%. I believe, I agree word for word what you said. We need to put, you know, the up and coming fighters on in the prelim main event. And I agree also with the Kalen Williams fight. That is also one of the fights that needs to be brought up. Two starching knockouts, like putting both guys out cold, is now fighting, you know, the gymnast of the UFC, you know, the Wild Man and Michelle Paella. I feel like I'm butchering his last name. But regardless, I understand why that fight's on the main card. It makes sense. I'm very excited for that one. I'm very excited to see, you know, how Williams kind of handles that style, because, you know, Williams, his two previous fights, he fought Alex Morono's debut. Alex is kind of a, you know, solid base, kind of just stand and trade, but not like, you know, Morono just doesn't have that power. You know, he's very flat-footed. And then he fought Abdulrazak Alhassan, another knockout artist, but another flat-footed kind of, you know, stationary opponent. You're coming in against Michelle, who's going to move, you know, he's going to be wild, but Kalen Williams, man, Chaos Williams, that guy, he's got chaos in that hand, in those hands, and it's going to be an incredible fight. I'm very excited for that one. One thing I just want to say, I was wrong about the Conor McGregor thing. When he fought Dustin Poirier, it was on the main card of Demetrius Johnson's pay-per-view, but it was before that fight. He fought Marcus Brimage and Max Holloway. Can you believe that? Let's bring that up. Conor fought Max Holloway on the prelims of, I think, Chael Sonnen's main card. Now look at both of them. They're mega stars. Conor's a mega millionaire. Holloway is beloved by the fans, is arguably the greatest featherweight of all time. Those two fought on the prelims of Chael Sonnen's main card. That tells you, please watch the prelims. There's just plenty of stars coming.
All right, well, let me ask you this, right? Let me ask you this. Looking at the card, what fight might not live up to the hype? You know, it's some fights that when we look at a card, we like, oh, my goodness gracious, this fight should be a banger. Derrick Lewis and Francis Ngannou, for example. The Yoel and Izzy fight, for example. So what fight on this card do you think has the chance to fall flat on its face?
Honestly, if I had to pick, and I know it's probably the obvious pick, but I think it's going to be the heavyweight main card opener, which is the Greg Hardy fight. He's fighting Marcin Tybura. And, you know, I think, you know, Tybura is not a bad fighter, and he's actually quite good, only 35 years old. You know, he's only lost in the UFC a few times, actually more than a few times, total five. But it's been against, you know, respectable talent. You know, Fabricio Werdum, Derek Lewis, up-and-coming Augusto Sakai, and Shamil Abdurahimov. But he's come back on a three-fight win streak against some, again, respectable talent. And, you know, anything can happen, but those three wins are all by decision. And as a heavyweight, it's just not that fun to watch heavyweights go to decision, especially if you're fighting Greg Hardy. Because Greg Hardy, you know, he carries a lot of baggage into the UFC, into his fights. But as a fan of entertainment, he benefits for us because of he gets the knockouts. You know, no one wants to watch heavyweights go to the decision. They want to see heavyweights knock each other out, but most of the time it doesn't happen. And I think this fight could be one of those fights where we just see a three-round decision. Hopefully I'm wrong.
And I'm thinking it's the female fight right after that fight. This fight between Robinson and Santos. Actually, the odds is basically a pick 'em right now. Robinson is a -115, and Santos is a -105. So basically, it's a pick 'em right now. But sometimes women, and this is not a knock on women, sometimes women don't come balls to the wall when they're on the main card. When they're on the main card, sometimes they just don't give us the performance that we're expecting. I like Santos in this fight. I think she's going to dominate Robinson, but I hope they both come out there and they put on a show Saturday, especially in the position that they're at, coming on after a heavyweight fight and right before the Moraes and Font fight. So I'm hoping that this fight actually live up to where is that on the card.
I agree 100%. You know, I didn't want to pick the obvious one, but it's always tough for the ladies on main cards. You know, most of the time, and I hate to say it, but they do not live up to the hype unless the females have been hyped up prior, you know, to let me give you an example, just a recent one. The pay-per-view that just passed, it was Mackenzie Dern. She fought Verna Giradoba. Everyone knows why they put Mackenzie Dern on the main card. She's Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, ace, and she's got the following with her name. But they bumped that card to the main card, lifted it to the main card and put Hanato Moicano versus Rafael Fiziev to the prelims, to where Fiziev gets a first-round knockout in incredible fashion, and Dern goes to a decision. And it was a fight. It was a 1-1 going into the third round. And it just – because it didn't live up to the hype, at least to me, is because they matched it up as, you know, two Brazilian jiu-jitsu aces, and it turned into a striking fight. No one wanted to watch that. We wanted to watch you guys grapple, and we didn't get that. And I personally don't think that that lived up to the hype that they expected it to. That's just where you just got to pick and choose them. You never know what you're going to get, and I think that's what happened. And sometimes it does pan out, but most time, no. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping, man. I really am.
Yeah, and what I want to say to the people that's listening, we're not bashing the female fighters. Only thing we're saying is sometimes depending on the fighters and their position on the card, sometimes the fight doesn't warrant where is that on the card. So because you see that they're after Greg Hardy and before Marlon Moraes and Rob Font, then you're respecting them to put on a show and a hell of a fight. So, well, with that being said, me and Evan wanted to jump up here tonight and we wanted to break down this fight card. So Evan wanted to talk about it, so I'm going to get a floor to Evan, And I'm going to follow your lead, bro.
All right. Also, another thing I wanted to add on to your point before I get started is, like you said, we are not trashing the women. There are many, many incredible, amazing female fighters. And my opinion, I believe personally that Weili Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk is arguably the best fight of all time. It had everything you could want in a title fight. And for the magnitude, the hype that fight had, it delivered so much that I think it just put such a leveled a barrier of like where the level is for certain talent. Like those are the female fights that people, you know, were getting hyped up about because we know they're gonna shine. Whereas some just don't add up to what we think. But like I said, that fight is number one the fight of the year for 2020. And like I said, could be fight of the world, like ever. But let me stop there and let's break down this main card. All right. As I said before, the main card opener, it starts at 7 p.m. EST. We have Marcin Tybura taking on Greg Hardy. Who do you got, Lee? Tell me your thoughts.
Oh, man, this fight is actually – this is one of those fights that if it live up to the billing, somebody getting knocked out. Somebody should get knocked out in this fight. I'm not a fan of Greg Hardy, the person, but – I'm coming around to Greg Hardy, the MMA fighter. He seems to add a little bit of something to his game every fight. When he first started, he was just a striker. And then when you look at his second and third fights, he added kicks to his game. He added feints to his game. The one thing he hasn't added to his game yet is wrestling. But, you know, he's a former football player coming into a new sport. So you have to give his skill time to develop. This is a tough one, man. Greg Hardy is 7-2. Marcin Tybura is 20-6. I'm gonna go with Greg Hardy, man. I think Greg Hardy gets it done, probably with a second round knockout, and he continues on his on pace to keep developing his skills, man. I'm going with Greg Hardy, second round knockout.
Pointed out that, you know, there's a huge gap in the MMA experience, but it's such an interesting thing that happens because you know, for a quick example, you know, you had last week on the pay-per-view card, you had Junior Dos Santos taking on Surreal Games. I don't even think that's how you actually pronounce his name. But Junior Dos Santos was 21-8 going into that fight. Surreal Gain was 6-0, okay? The MMA experience was clearly on JDS's side, but I believe, I'm not actually sure what Surreal's background is. I believe he's a kickboxer of some sort, but
I'll look it up. Go ahead, keep talking.
It's just right there that even though the experience is on one side, it doesn't matter because the sheer talent that one possesses, you know, it's enough. You know, if your game is that complete, you know, you are just ready to fight those top contenders. You know, he just put out a former champion in the second round. Like, that's it was six professional MMA fights. That's incredible. That is an amazing feat. And so back to the Greg Hardy pick. You know, Greg Hardy, not the talent of Surreal Gain, but again, 7-2, he's gaining experience as he gets going. He seems to really care and want to grow as an MMA fighter. I think I'm going to go with Greg Hardy as well. I believe he'll get the first or second round knockout. I'm going to go with round two knockout as well. You know, not to copy you, but I really think that's a good pick. I think, I think they'll feel each other out a little bit in the first round, and then that second round, Greg will put the gas on because Greg just does not have the cardio. As we've seen, the inhaler, you know, the inhaler situation. And Marcin Tybura has gone five rounds. You know, Marcin Tybura, he went five rounds against Fabricio Werdum, and in his last three fights. He's gone the full 15 minutes in three straight unanimous decisions. So the kid can go. So, Greg Hardy's got to do something quick and it's got to be fast. So it looks like we're both going Greg Hardy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to come at you with this one. We got Santos versus Robertson in the women's flyweight division. Robertson is 9-4. Santos is 16-1. Let me look at Robertson's profile real quick. She's 4-1 in her last five fights. Santos is, pull her up real quick. Santos is, she's 4-1 in her last five fights. Robertson is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Santos is a striker. How do you see this fight going?
Personally, I believe, once again, this fight kind of mirrors. There was a fight a little while ago. I can't remember the two women that were in the fight, but there was the female fighter with a almost basically undefeated record, a lot of hype behind her. She took on a UFC vet, and it just didn't pan out. But then, Talia Santos lost her. I guess she lost her most recent fight. Her most recent fight she won by decision. I actually saw that fight. She did really well. Jillian Roberts, like we said, is on a 2-fight win streak. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know too much about Santos. I've seen the fight. She, did very well against Molly McCann, basically dominated the whole fight. Roberts has looked good in her last two performances. So I'm not going to lie to you, boss. This one honestly looks, like you said, it looks like a pick 'em. So I am going to go with, Robertson. I think she's the UFC vet, and I think she continues her win streak. What do you think? I'm going to go with by decision. We'll just go by decision.
I'm going with Santos, man. I like the way she looked in her last fight against McCann. She looked very, very dominating. Her takedown offense was awesome. Then when she take you down, she's going for submission, and I like that. I don't like people just to take you down just for the sake of taking you down. I hate that. And the way if she can do the same thing she did against McCann, this should be I'm not going to say an easy fight for her, but it should be a fight that people going to be like, okay, she's on the map now. But she has to incorporate basically the same game plan that she used against McCann and be, when you take her down, go for the submission or the ground and pound. Don't just lay on top of her, because that becomes boring. And when you're on this position of the card, you have to be going for the submission or the knockout. So I'm going to go with Santos, man. I think she beats Robertson. I'm going to say third round submission.
I like it. All right. If you don't mind. Here comes, I think this was your pick of the not the sleeper fight, but just one of the, the bangers of the card. We got Marlon Moraes versus Rob Font. Tell me what you're thinking.
I love Marlon Moraes, man. I love Marlon Moraes. I think he's probably one of the most underappreciated fighters in the UFC. A lot of people don't know a lot about him. A lot of people learned about him when he got in the ring with Cejudo. But I just like what Rob Font brings to the game. I think my man Moraes' cardio is an issue. Font, he's 3-2 in his last five fights, beating Ricky Simon, Sergio Pettis, and Thomas Almeida, but loser to Pedro Munhoz and Rafael Assuncao. So basically, to me, it looks like he's a guy that doesn't show up against names, but I think he bucks his trend, and he beats Marlon Moraes by unanimous decision. No, I'm going to say by split decision, and Font wins this fight.
I like that one. You know, it actually brings me back to what you said that, you know, he hasn't looked, you know, he hasn't won those big fights with the, when, you know, when the, with the big name, when the pressure was on. You know, he fought John Lineker, like you said, Munoz, and a Sun Tzu. But what interested me is those three fights match another, you know, a competitor in the UFC by the name, excuse me, by the name of Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira, if you go back to his record, you know, 38 pro fights, 39 actually, won no contest. If you go look at his career, only lost to top level competition. If I may, real fast, he's lost to Jim Miller, Cerrone, Swanson, Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway, Pettis, Lamas, and Felder. That's top competition.
Yep.
But when the chips were down and he needed to win a fight, he did, and he dominated Tony Ferguson in his last out, his last bout. Absolute domination. Now, I really think that could happen with Rob Fine here. You know, I think that, you know, it's just been an up and down kind of career where he just hasn't been able to get that big win. But this is his moment, man. This is his big win. I really, really believe he's got it. I'm very, very excited for this one. I'm going to go Rob Fine as well. I think he's got really good boxing, trains with Calvin Kattar. You know, they're trying to put New England on the map, and I really like him for this one. I'm going to say a second round stoppage. I'm going to say a second round TKO.
I like it. I like it. Because Font does have dynamite in his hands. He does have dynamite in his hands. And I just think I like new blood, man. I'm just one of them guys that like to see new guys force their paths through the ranks by doing what we all want them to do, and that's fight. Fight guys and move your way up. So I like the way you went with it. I like the way.
If I may real fast, I didn't want to miss out on this one, but since we're only doing the main card, real fast, who do you have in the Anthony Pettis, Alex Morono car fight since on the prelims?
Man, after hearing you talk about Morono, you know, I think this fight is going to be harder than people think. I think it's going to be a fight. Because I haven't really seen this guy fight, but listening to you talk about him and Pettis' contract situation, I think Pettis goes out on the white horse, man, and he wins a split decision. I think it's going to go all three rounds. I think it's going to be action-packed. I wouldn't be surprised if Pettis got a submission from the bottom. We got to see a lot of showtime. But I'm going to say Pettis wins by I'm not even going to say split. I'm going to say he wins by unanimous decision.
I agree. I do agree. I think Pettis gets the job done. I think Pettis just has way more weapons in his arsenal. I don't want to say his back is against the wall, but with this being his last fight in his contract, I don't know if he's going into negotiations or any of that, but this is just a major fight for his career, no matter where he goes. If he stays with the UFC or if he follows his brother Sergio to Bellator, who knows, you know? You know, Pettis, I don't see him really going to the top, you know, the top five at welterweight. You know, not no disrespect, I just don't think his championship aspirations in the UFC are there anymore. But in Bellator, anything's possible, especially for, you know, a former champion in the UFC coming to Bellator. But with that being said, I am going Anthony Pettis. I think, like I mentioned before, his volume, his arsenal, and just all-around championship mentality is going to win him this fight. I'm going to go with unanimous decision as well, but I could see a finish from Pettis. Like I said, I just think he's got more tools, and I just think that Morono just may get caught, but who knows? But I'm going to go Pettis. But to keep the ball rolling, we have landed at the Michel Pagea versus Chaos Williams. Who do you got?
Oh, man. This is easy for me. I'm going to keep it short. I'm going Chaos Williams, late first round knockout, and he continues to make his star shine even brighter than what it is now. I think Pereira is going to be fighting on his back foot most of the fight, try to avoid that power, and he's just not going to be able to do it. I'm going with Chaos Williams, first round knockout. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. That's how we like it. I'm going to agree 100%. Like I said, I do think Chaos may find some, early trouble with Michelle's, style, that very fast-paced, acrobatic, style that he possesses. But I just, after seeing how fast he put out Abdul Razak Al-Hassan and how he put out Morono, who Morono's a tough guy, He's a durable guy, and he's gone the rounds. But he put Morono out cold. He put Al-Hassan out cold with one punch, and it was a close. They were close together, and he put him out stiff. So, it begs the question, how much power does that man have? But like you said, I agree. I think Michelle is going to do that gymnastics crap. He's going to get too close, and Chaos is just going to land one on him, and he's going to put him down. So I'm agreeing. I'm going to see a first-round knockout, and I think it's going to be a late one, too. We're at the co-main event. Please.
Hold on real quick, Evan, but I think Chaos has to be be very attentive in the early part of the fight. Pereira might come out with a flying knee or something crazy at the beginning of the fight that might take Williams off, catch him off guard. So I think Williams better have his guard up from the time the bell rings, though.
I agree 100%. I really do, 100%.
All right, so here we go, Evan. I said we're at the co-main event, man.
That's it.
We got Jose Aldo versus Marlon Vera. 28-7 Aldo, 16-6-1 Vera. Aldo coming off a loss, I'm thinking. I think Aldo coming off a loss. Let me make sure.
Yeah. Aldo's coming off the title loss to Piotr Jan.
Aldo coming off a loss. Vera coming off of his great fight against Sugar Sean O'Malley. Break it down for us and give us a winner.
All right. Well, first things first, I really like this one for Marlon. I really think this is a major opportunity for him. His career in the UFC started out pretty solid, because he's been in the game. He's been in the UFC since UFC 180. Just to give you guys a little bit of an understanding, that is when Fabricio Werdum fought Mark Hunt for the interim heavyweight title. So he's been in the game in the UFC, to be exact, for a long time. He's had some good wins, against a top contender in John Lineker. He was not able to get the job done. But when, the pressure was on and, he took on, the superstar in Sean O'Malley, he put him out. He caught him with a great leg kick, messed up Sean's leg, messed up his foot, and it was clear that those elbows were putting Sean O'Malley out cold. Much respect to O'Malley, I hope he comes back good, but it was clear that he was out. And then previously in that fight, in his last fight before the O'Malley was the Song Yadong fight, which it was clear he won that fight, but the judges gave it to Song, which was disgusting judging. Like, that's a fight that people need to go back and watch and tell me how bad the judging was, because it was bad. Regardless of all that, I like Marlon Vera in this fight. I think his, use of range, the leg kicks, the body kicks, just everything, it's finally coming together. and I think he's just going to be able to perform incredibly against Jose Aldo. You know, Jose, you know, he's looked good at bantamweight, but I don't know, man. Just I don't think it was smart putting him up against a young, you know, a young up-and-comer like Marlon Vera. 28 years old, hasn't even hit his prime yet. You know, on cloud nine, coming off that win against Sean O'Malley. I think this is pickings for Marlon. I think he gets it done. I honestly think either – I'm not trying to be like a, you know, 50-50 guy here, but I really think Marlon could finish Aldo quick. If he doesn't finish him quick, it's going to be a dominating decision. But I'm definitely going Marlon Vera. Who do you got?
I think if Jose Aldo could rediscover his kick game, he could beat Marlon Vera. If he rediscovers his kick game, his kick game was so important to his early success that most people couldn't walk or even put pressure on their legs when he was kicking the shit out of them in those fights. But I don't know whether or not he injured himself or whether – I don't know what happened, but his kick game has disappeared. That being said, Marlon Vera coming off that win, I just don't – I hope he doesn't come in there with his head too big and that he comes in with respect for the former champ Aldo, because Aldo is still a quality competitor. He still got skills. I like Vera. I'm going to say unanimous decision. I don't think he puts Aldo out. I think this fight will probably get ugly, probably starting in the middle of the second round, going into the third round. And when you said something about, you said that the UFC putting Aldo in against a young lion, I think the UFC is starting to put their older fighters out the pasture by putting them in there against these young guys and showing them that their skills don't match up anymore. And I think Aldo is next in line for this lesson. And Marlon Vera would definitely dominate him starting in the middle of the second round, going into the third round. I got Marlon Vera, unanimous decision. Unless Aldo rediscovers his kick game. If Aldo rediscovers his kick game, Vera will be in trouble.
100%. I agree to that because, you know, Aldo showed a little bit of his kicking game in the Piotr Jan fight, in his last fight. He actually knocked Jan off his feet briefly, and it was just the sheer power of that kick. But, of course, at, you know, to the end of that, you know, the rest of that fight, he didn't really show throw many kicks, so people continue to wonder why. And, you know, to that point, Sean O'Malley had great success kicking Cheeto, so I agree 100%. But, no, man, we are here at the end of the line. We got Stephen Thompson taking on Jeff Neal. This fight is it's major. It's major for the division. You know, I think Wonder Boy, if I'm correct, I believe he's ranked, I want to say, fifth or sixth in the division. Let me get that here for you guys. Yeah, Steven is ranked fifth, and Neil is 11th. So, obviously, this is a huge fight for both gentlemen. You know, Steven Thompson wanting to stay in the top five, getting closer to another chance at the title, which is not going to be easy when you got guys like Masvidal, Edwards, Burns, and Covington, you know, above you. It's just, it's hard. But, and for Neil, this is an incredible opportunity. He can jump a talented, you know, murderous row. You got Vicente Luque, Neil Magny, Chiesa, Maya, Woodley, who has not looked good in his past few fights. It's an incredible fight. You know, to break it down a little bit, you know, Neil, he's looked good in his, you know, in his last few fights. You know, he's a very talented guy, but, you know, I don't want to, like, I don't know if he's ready for that that you, like that top five contender level. Because his record kind of compares a lot to Vicente Luque. You know, he's got wins against Brian Camozzi, who no one knows, Frank Camacho, who's a clear lightweight, Bilal Muhammad, who's a contender in the UFC, you know, one of the best to ever do it, 100%. Nico Price, who's a 50-50 fighter, and then his biggest win to date is Mike Perry. But, you know, they said the same thing, you know, about Vicente Luque when he fought, Wonder Boy. They, you know, they matched up that fight, and it was a great performance for both, in the beginning it was very good performance, but, proud of that fight. Like I said, you got Vicente took out Perry, he took out a no-name, Brian Barberina in a great fight, Galen Turner, who's a 155er, Chad Lapree, who I think is also a 155er, and he beat Nico Price as well. So the record is very matching itself, very much comparing itself, and I believe that we might see another, you know, episode of pushing the star too fast to the top. So with all that being said, I am picking Stephen Wonderboy Thompson to get a third or fourth round finish. I think it's going to take him a minute to get his, you know, get his timing, get everything down. But I think like in the Vicente Luque fight, it took him a minute to get his timing down. But by that second and third round, he was putting it on Luque, and there was nothing Luque was going to do to stop Wonderboy. So I'm going Wonderboy, third or fourth round TKO, or it'll go five rounds. We'll see. Tell me what you think.
I'm a big fan of Jeff Neal, man. I really like Jeff Neal. I like his fighting style. He's very exciting in there. He isn't a boring fighter. He doesn't lay back and react. He normally is the one that's being proactive and taking the fight to his opponent. I think in this fight, he wants to reverse his role. I think you let Steven Thompson get off first, and then you react, and then you let him get off, and then you react to what he's doing. Because if you look at it, when you watch Steven Thompson fight against Tyron Woodley, he was always the second one to dance. He was always reacting to Woodley. And Woodley would actually, he was taking advantage of that. So I think Jeff Neal probably needs to employ some of the Woodley game plan. But I like what Steven Thompson said earlier this week, saying that he's not a gatekeeper. He's ready to get back in the title picture. And when he said that, actually, I was leaning towards Neal to win this fight until I saw that. And I'm going with Wonderboy, man. I think Wonderboy will rediscover his championship form in this fight. He puts the division on notice, and he beats Jeff Neal, I'm going to say, by second round TKO. No knock against Jeff Neal. You're the 11th ranked guy fighting basically a top five guy. So, you know, you just take this fight, learn from it, and keep pushing. But I'm going with Wonderboy, man. Second round TKO.
Man, just so the people know, we are not knocking on Jeff Neal. You know, we think he's going to be a contender at some point. But it scares me how identical his record of wins are, okay, and how Luque, how it went with Wonderboy. But, you know, styles, he's kind of got a similar style. You know, it's very, you know, just get in your face, get that big power, the knockouts. But not a lot of people have been able to figure out Wonderboy. You know, I think Wonderboy lost a split decision to Matt Brown. He lost the one fight to Woodley. He got knocked out by Pettis, and I think there was one more that I'm forgetting, but it's just it's just not a lot of people have been able to figure it out, and I don't know if Neil can. But, you know, like we've said before, everyone, this is going to be an incredible fight. I'm really glad this is a main event. I think this is an important main event. I think this fight makes more sense as a main event than the original main event, which was supposed to be Leon Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev, which that fight was kind of insane in its own right. You know, we're talking about number 5 fighting 11 when that was number 3 fighting someone that wasn't even ranked at the time. It was, and they were, the UFC was so happy to book that fight with relative ease. I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm very happy with these fights. You know, I'm very thankful that we were able to break them down. I, you know, I hope everyone enjoyed, you know, the breakdown of the fights. And, yeah, man, take it away. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, man. Back to the Edwards Chimaev fight, man. It isn't Edwards' fault, though, dog. It's like nobody would take a fight with him, man. It's like he was signed up to fight Woodley. Then the pandemic hit.
Yep.
Then I want to say he was signed up to fight Edwards. I mean, Burns. What's he at? No, Burns was going to fight Woodley. No, I think Burns was scheduled to fight Edwards. And then something happened. And then it's just like nobody wants to fight Edwards. So you got to take whoever going to fight you. And that's the fight they gave him. And I was totally against him taking that fight, but you gotta feel for the guy that nobody will fight him, man. None of the top 5 guys will fight him. So he had to go out there and get a fight for himself, and then he finally get a fight and he get COVID, man. So hopefully they rebook that fight, hopefully for February, or if they could get it on the Conor card, that'd be great. But I'm probably thinking they're going to make it a main event and a fight night. So hopefully we'll probably get it January or maybe February. But like you said, man, this card is good. It's definitely stacked. You got 7 prelim fights and 6 fights on the main card, a 13-fight card. Hopefully everybody can make it to do the walk. Everybody make weight. So I'm looking forward to it, bro.
I agree 100%. I'll be honest with you, man. I wasn't a big fan of Leon Edwards earlier in his career. I just didn't really care for him, especially when he fought Cowboy. But then, you know, when he fought Gunnar Nelson, I think I realized, you know, he's legit and, you know, deserves that respect. But as we're talking about it, they're definitely, I think, trying to rebook that fight. I do believe, honestly, I think that fight, if I don't know the UFC's schedule as far as the most of January, but I know January 16th is the Holloway versus Calvin Kattar card, and then January 23rd is Conor versus Dustin Poirier, I believe. So I don't know if they're doing anything January 30th, or if that's kind of just a skip, and then we're just going straight into February. I hope they rebook it as soon as possible. On top of that, just real quick, on top of rebooking, they also need to be rebooking the Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis fight because Blaydes actually mentioned they were talking about rebooking that fight and they want it as a main event. So got to look out for that one as well. But like you said, man, just thankful we got to break down the fights. Can't wait for the fights, 2 days from now because I keep thinking today's Friday. But, thank you for wanting to break it down with me. I appreciate it. And, take us home.
Yeah, man. Because looking at the schedule so far, January 16th is Holloway Kattar. January 23rd is Poirier McGregor. And then February 13th is UFC 258. That's all it has is UFC 258. So maybe we get Edwards and Chimaev on that card, and you get Blaydes and Lewis on that card as well. That's how I would book it because a lot of people do know Derek Lewis. A lot of people do like watching Derek Lewis fight. And a lot of people really aren't up to speed on Leon Edwards. So you want the co-main event to lead up into the main event. So hopefully they book it that way. But if not, you know, we'll see how they do it. This is definitely fun. been up here breaking down and talking fights with Evan again. You know, last night he wanted to talk about it, and we kind of ran out of time. So me and him made up our mind to do this tonight. And I love doing this fight breakdown with Evan, man, because Evan is like me. You got to take a deep dive into the fights. Just don't look at the fights when they're on TV. Try to get a idea of the fighters before they fight, so that way you will know what to look for when they're fighting. Because I know me and him were watching the fight Saturday coming up. I'm going to be like, damn, Evan did say that. And then Evan probably be like, Lee did say he need to go first instead of always reacting. So, you know, man, it's always good to break down fights like that. It's on Thursday. Hey, how much snow did y'all get out there?
Not too much, but it was definitely enough to, you know, put me out of work for this, you know, for the next 2 days. But it should be done by next week, by Monday. So enough.
Yeah, man. It's supposed to snow out here next Wednesday, and then it's supposed to be like 40-some degrees on Christmas, so I'm all good with that. But look, man, great show, man. Love breaking down fights with Evan. This is actually a pretty good card, so if you at home, hey, check the fights out. This fight, I know Canelo is fighting Saturday too, so I think the timing might match up where the UFC main event would end just in time when Canelo is doing his walk to the ring. But look, man, live, love, laugh, man. Live your life to the fullest every day. Tell somebody you love them, have one good laugh every day, and always tune in for Lee and Key's Real Talk with special co-host Evan. And everybody have a good weekend. Have a happy holiday. We probably won't do a show next week, being that's Christmas week, unless we jump on maybe Tuesday. Unless we do a show Tuesday to review the card from Saturday. But we'll figure that out. Just stay tuned. And everybody have a great evening. Wash your hands, wear your mask, practice social distancing, take care of yourself. Everybody have a great evening. Lee Keys and Evan out. Peace. Thank you.